Hey Govs fans, this is Dr. Kevin Kennedy Jr. If you're like me, you love cheering on Clarksville's hometown team because the Govs mean something special to our Clarksville community. From little Govs to lifelong Govs, our dental teams are here to serve your family for every need with specialists in kids dentistry at Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry to our experienced general dentist at Clarksville Dental Center. If you love our community and are looking to support businesses that do as well, we'd be honored to serve you. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry is the official sponsor of the Junior Govs Club, the premier club for kids to grow into lifelong Govs fans. Let's go, P.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in to the latest episode of the Gov Talk podcast. Me and Chris here again, like always. This is a preview episode. We'll be previewing the matchup with the Utah Tech Trailblazers this weekend. At the Fort. Should be a good game, Chris. I think, the Govs last year took care of business against Utah Tech. Wasn't the prettiest game, but 2-0 all time against Utah Tech. This is the third matchup. Should be a good one. What do you think?
Yeah. Like we both said on the previous episode, Govs kind of had a letdown game last weekend. Fought back in the second half. It should be a good game for them to rebound. It's not somebody like Tarleton or, like a Southern Utah or somebody. So, you get a good chance to kind of rebound in a good way.
Yeah. I mean, Utah Tech's looked better than we thought they were going to look, but they're definitely not, the talent level of, like you said, Tarleton or Abilene.
Right.
So it should be interesting.
Right. And it's no disrespect to Utah Tech. I mean, they've improved, in my opinion, drastically since last year. So if any Utah Tech fans are listening, no disrespect.
Yeah, I mean, they're a good squad.
They're
a young team. They've played hard. I mean, look at their first game. They played against UC Davis and took them to the wire. I mean, they lost 31-24, and UC Davis is like a perpetually ranked team. That's a – tough game. And then their second game, another good team, Northern Arizona, at Northern Arizona.
Yep.
They took them to the wire again, lost by another touchdown. And then the third game is Idaho, which, Idaho is another – they used to be an FBS team, moved down a few years ago, and, they hung pretty tough with Idaho. And then last week they finally got a win against Northern Iowa, who's another solid team. I think before the season we were talking about, like, it wouldn't have been surprising to see Utah Tech start out like 0-6.
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, their schedule's just brutal. And they've hung tough. They've looked good.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that they got a win before coming to us, credit to them. Because I think me and you, when we went over the schedules for all the teams in USC, I think we predicted them to go, like you said, 0-6, 0-7, something
them
like that.
Them and West Georgia were predicted to finish last, and they're like two of the better ones.
I was going to say, boy, were we wrong on West Georgia, but we're not the only ones.
Yeah, it's kind of exciting. I mean, and it kind of makes it hard to do these type of shows because you don't really know what to expect, because a lot of the teams we thought were going to be really good are terrible, and a lot of the teams we thought were going to be terrible are pretty good. I mean, West Georgia's undefeated and ranked. Eastern Kentucky looks terrible. Central Arkansas looks terrible. North Alabama looks terrible. But West Georgia and Utah Tech look like legit teams. So, what is let the people know, Chris, what are we kind of looking at with Utah Tech? Are they a passing team, running team, defense first? What do they kind of throw at you?
Well, I think, me and you talked before we started that they do go with two quarterbacks, correct?
Yeah, so they have one that's a runner, and then they have one that's more of a pocket passer.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, so like Reggie Graff is their quarterback, but he's also their leading rusher, and you're good. He started in two games, and Bronson Barbin's their other quarterback. He started in two games. Barbin has a slightly better passing numbers, but Graff is more dynamic with his legs. I mean, the backup quarterback's leading your team's leading rusher, I mean, that says a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, so I got their stats pulled up here. So Barbin is 39 of 66 with 4 picks and 1 touchdown, 394 yards. And Graf is 32 of 59 with 3 interceptions and 265 yards and 3 touchdowns. So they do. They seem to be a little turnover prone. And then they do have a third quarterback on there, and that's just 1 for 1, and 8 yards, no picks, no touchdowns. But he's played in all 4 games.
Yeah, it's interesting little like musical chairs they're doing.
Yeah. And then yeah, as far like you said, rushing, Reggie Graf is their leading, seems to be their leading rusher. Also, 47 attempts, 286 yards. And their next one is Asa Chapman.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah, like you said, musical chairs. Looking at their defense here. Is their leading defensive leading tackler and their primary player to watch for in the game notes. 8 solo tackles. He's played in all 4 games, 8 solo tackles, 12 assists, 6 tackles, tackles for loss. And I thought I saw here he had a couple of sacks as well.
He has one and a half sacks
for 9 yards. Yeah. So he's their key player, number 11. For all the Gus fans that are going to be there in attendance on Saturday, he's the one player I think defensively you need to watch for. Offensively, I think you can take your pick. Obviously, both quarterbacks and, well, and their leading rusher as well is also the quarterback. So,
yeah. The thing is, what I noticed in the game notes is Utah Tech's offensive line appears to be pretty good. So, Chris, I don't know if you noticed, but they lead the league in sacks allowed. They're allowing 0.25 sacks per game.
Oh, wow.
So
I did not know that.
It's very hard to get to their quarterback. Now, part of that could be because they're mobile, but they also lead the league in defensive sacks. So they're averaging 3.25 sacks per game. So they sack the opposing quarterback and they protect their quarterback. They're really good in the trenches. So that's worth noting because Austin Peay had a lot of trouble getting to the quarterback at Abilene. So it looks like, you know, this is a tough matchup. This isn't necessarily a get-right matchup for the pass rush. They also have the fewest tackles for loss allowed in the UAC as well. So it's hard to get them behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I mean, it might be a tough day for the Gus but like I said, I think after last week and, you know, the fight we saw in the second half, I think these guys were probably ready to play this game on Sunday or Monday if I had to guess. So
yeah, but like you said, other than that, the Govs have a ton of clear advantages. I don't think you'll mind me saying this. Before we started recording, you said it feels like a multiple score Govs win just based off of the numbers. I mean, so it's a good time to update like where the Govs stand in a lot of stats because we have played a conference game now, so like everything's kind of regressed to the mean. So, for example, like Austin Peay leads the UAC in rushing defense, allowing only 83 yards per game. Now, granted, a lot of that can be attributed to Morehead State getting 6 yards. But still, Austin Peay's run defense has been phenomenal, which is good because, like we said, Utah Tech likes to run the ball. And then they also lead – Austin Peay also leads the UAC in red zone offense. So we've been phenomenal at converting on red zone opportunities, which is good. And also lead the entire FCS in punt return average. So I don't know if you knew that, Chris, but
I did read that. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're, yeah. And then as far as like just advantages, rushing offense, Austin Peay's averaging 183 yards per game. Utah Tech's averaging 144. Passing offense, Austin Peay's way above them, 236 to 166. And then scoring, Austin Peay's averaging just under 32 points per game, and Utah Tech's averaging 20. So, like you said, we do have an advantage in quite a few areas. Granted, Utah Tech's played some tougher competition. They definitely have not had an easy route to get here, but, you know, it is what it is. We'll go to – so if you look at the previous meetings, so in 2023, the first ever meeting between these two, that was the last time we played each other in Clarksville. The Govs won 30-17. And then last year in St. George, Utah, the Govs won 13-7. That was a sloppy,
yes,
not a very entertaining game. Do you remember that game?
I do. Yeah, I think if I remember right, I think we scored on the second drive in the first quarter, or the second offensive play. I apologize. Second offensive play. And then beyond that, it was two field goals. Yeah. And I think I read Austin just threw for 93 yards, and just seven completions and 93 yards, and had 18 rushes for 83 yards. So he almost as many rushing yards as he did passing yards. So
I didn't realize this, but they had the same, they had the same quarterbacks last year, and we handled them pretty fine last year. So,
yeah.
If you let's look here, let's see if I can get this pulled up. Yeah, so like last year, against when we played each other, Barbin was the leading passer for them, and he only had 72 passing yards. So, Austin Peay didn't have a problem stopping them last year, and this defense is better this year, in my opinion. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't think, and that was there. That was at their home. So yeah. I think this could be in our favor. I would think.
Yeah, it seems to be that way. You know, like you said, we were talking before we got on, before we started recording, and I mean, you just look up and down the stat sheet. I mean, this should be a, you know, I won't say convincing, but you know, at least a two score win for the Govs. You know. And I'm sure we'll continue if it happens again, but turnovers, gotta limit those turnovers.
Oh, we forgot to mention that real quick. So we're still ranked after last week's disappointing loss. If you didn't know, yep. We're 23rd in the stats perform and we're 25th in the AFCA. So Utah Tech isn't ranked in either. But yeah, we didn't. So that should make at least for me, it made me feel better saying that we were still ranked because, yep. It let me know that, like, that wasn't a bad loss.
No, I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, we probably hate, you know, still hate the fact that it happened. But I think that, you know, that the Govs are still ranked even after that, I think shows what respect the voters have of Austin Peay right now and how good of a team how good of a team they have and what we have here. So, sure. Yeah, no, that's I completely agree with what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, it sucked. First half was terrible. But at the same time, you know, if you go on the road and lose and still come out in the top 25, I mean, that's respectable in my opinion.
So we had for you know, what it's worth, Austin Peay 23rd and Abilene moved up to 12. So that's, like I said, that's your proof that if you're still mad about the loss, I mean, be upset that we lost. You hate losing, but
yeah,
definitely not a horrible loss. I mean, if it was a bad loss, they would have bumped you straight out of the top 25. So,
yeah, I mean, it was a winnable game for sure. Just, I mean, again, I'll say it again: turnovers killed them. Turnovers and silly penalties. They'll do it every time.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it in the recap, but I am still impressed by the way that they rebounded after that horrendous first half. I mean, that was so bad. Like, it didn't even look like the same Govs team that we've seen.
It did not. No, I, you know, I was impressed also in the second half. I mean, it looked like, I think we said it the other day, it looked like the guys that we had seen the first 3 weeks. So I think if they play like that in the second half, they're going to be a hard team to beat throughout the rest of this season.
Yeah, I mean, and here's the thing, like Abilene has a good defense, and in the second half, the Govs are moving it at will. So that makes me feel good. I mean, it definitely wasn't like as bad as it looked at first. So, oh, we got to talk about who's wearing number zero this week. So, number zero this week's going to be Jackson Head, who had a career game last week, had the best tight end performance in Austin Peay history, actually. So I don't know, like, if do you have to have like a really great game and then you get to wear it the next game, or I don't know if it's like predetermined because they just give it to us the week of. So I don't know how they decide that, but it's pretty cool he gets to have that honor after having the best game of his career.
Yeah, I mean, Kendall Ball had it against MTSU, and then Ellis had a great game at MTSU. Got to wear it against Between the Hedges in Georgia, and Davian Hood had a good game in Georgia, I believe. And then Chris Parsons, I mean, threw up some crazy numbers against Moorhead. So, yeah, I mean, that seems to be the route that they're going with. You have a great game, you get to wear number zero.
So let's play devil's advocate here. So say Austin Peay does lose this game. So you have, I mean, you want it Moorhead, but other than that would be what, I think that's only two home wins in the last calendar year. I mean, you beat Alabama A&M last year, and then you beat Moorhead. So, oh, this would actually be, that leads me to another note. This will actually be Jeff's first UAC win at home.
Yeah, Govs were not very good at home last year.
So, is it safe to say, though, panic time if you lose this game?
Panic, I'm not.
Panic might be a strong
Panic
word,
might be
but.
a little strong word, but I think there would be some concerns. Again, no disrespect to Utah Tech. I think we're definitely a better program. I don't think panic would be the right word, but there would be some strong concerns that I would have for sure.
Well, I mean, like, it looks bad on the surface, but like we said earlier, Central Arkansas looks worse than we thought. EKU looks worse than we thought. And North Alabama looks worse than we thought. So if you did lose this game, you would think you'd pick up another one somewhere else and it would kind of even out. But I mean, I think it would be good. You know, Jeff wants to get this win at home. He wants to get that monkey off his back, get a conference win at home. All the struggles we had last year, all the great crowds we've had that have seen some heartbreaking losses, you know they want to get this win really bad. So,
Absolutely.
who are somebody that you're going to watch or your key to the game for the Govs?
Obviously, I mean, the easy pick would be Parsons, see how he responds from last week. I mean, not that he had a bad game. He had a bad first half, but second half he had a great game second half. He would be the easy pick. I'd like to see Jackson Hicken can have another game like he did last week. I mean, I think that would be huge for not just him, but for the team. And defensively, I mean, you gotta go Ellis, in my opinion.
Yeah, so I think obviously like we kind of said last week, if we win, Parson most likely had a really good game again. I think he's gonna have to probably make some plays with his legs. Utah Tech had, like we said, has a ferocious defensive front. They can definitely get after the quarterback. They can definitely get some sacks. I think as a whole, this game's gonna be on the offensive line. I think if Parson is protected and he has time to throw the ball, I think he could be a good day. Because I don't think Utah Tech has the athletes in the back end to keep up with our receivers. You have Shamar Kirk, you have Jaden Robinson, you have Garnett. I don't think they have the corners in the secondary to keep up with those guys. So I think if Parson has time to throw, if the line holds it for him, I think it could be a pretty good night for the Govs offense.
Yeah.
And then on defense, I mean, I'm curious about Stonebreaker making – he did play last week, but he should be starting this week and fully back into the swing of things. He was – he missed the half of the first game and then the next two games, his arm – had an arm injury. So he's back in the middle of the defense. Should help a little bit. Like to see, you know, him, you know, fully healthy now.
Yeah, I mean, I think you mentioned him. That's who I was about to bring up. So, yeah, you know, I'd like to see, you know, a Stonebreaker or somebody like a Miles Wiley or somebody get a pick, you know, take one back. You know, that'd be nice. I don't think we've seen one of those yet this season. So, that'd be nice, you know, be nice to see.
Yeah, so we did get a pick last week, which was one of the few positives.
Yep.
Which, oh, no, remind me who it was. Let's see.
That was Steven Ellison.
Yes, okay.
Steven Ellison the second, yeah. Right.
So, you know, that was kind of disappointing because, like, our secondary – I mean, don't get me wrong. Utah Tech is not going to be the team that's going to burn your secondary. But that really kind of – disappointed me last week, like probably more so than the offense. Was our defense looked like Swiss cheese for the first time. I mean, Stone Earl accounted for 6 touchdowns, their quarterback. It was ridiculous. Like I don't yeah. That was totally not something that I was expecting.
Yeah, well, you know, a couple times your offense sure didn't help you turning it over inside the, you know,
yeah, I mean, short close to it, so you're tired, short field. Right. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot to it, but
yeah. No, I'm with you. I get what you're saying completely. I agree.
Well, what do you think the score will be, sir?
I think it'll be a close game in the first half. But I think eventually I think the Govs pull away. I'm gonna go 34-17.
All right, so I would love that. I'll be in attendance. There's going to be a good crowd again. I'd love to have a stress-free home win against the conference opponent. That sounds real nice. So if you look, yeah, I mean, so UC Davis and Northern Arizona both scored 30 against them, so it can definitely be done. I'm going to say the offense is going to come out with something, feeling like they have to prove something. The defense is going to be angry. I don't think they have a very good day on offense. I think the Govs are going to win this one 24-10.
I like it.
I think the Govs force a couple turnovers. I think it's not a blowout by any means, but I don't think there's any – I don't think it's a very stressful day. I just think we have better athletes, plain and simple.
Yeah. You know, like I said earlier, I think we are the better program, you know. Stats wise, you look up and down the stat sheet. I mean, Gov should be a 2-touchdown win. Should be.
I'm interested to see what the line's going to be. I mean, I'm assuming we're going to be favored. We were favored against Abilene at Abilene. So definitely think we'd be favored at home. Anything else here? Oh, so anything else you want to say about the game before we get into a pretty big announcement?
No, just hope all of Gov Nation shows up. I mean, it should be I think Saturday is supposed to be a nice day. It's been raining all week, so I haven't looked at the forecast, but I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be nice.
It is, yeah. It's supposed to be about low 80s and sunny.
I mean, sounds like it's going to be a perfect day for a football game, and you know, especially one for a 1 o'clock kickoff. So hope all of Gov Nation gets out and makes it a raucous crowd.
Yeah, I think I'm really, really looking forward to fall, like fully being in fall, because that press box is a million degrees when the sun is sitting right on it. Like the sun shines right in our face. So yeah. Like you're in the press box sweating. So
yeah,
hopefully we have some nice fall weather soon. But
you wanted some betting lines. or some odds.
Do you have the FCS Sportsbook thing?
So what I've got pulled up is the total total points, 50.5.
Okay.
And then I think they had the spread is 14.5, Austin Peay.
15.5?
14.5.
Ooh. That's a scoring. That's a scoring number with a hook. I like that. Okay.
It's lining up with both of our scores.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
And this is not really
Yeah, no, FanDuel actually has it at 14.5 also.
FanDuel has it posted already. Interesting.
Yep. So there you go. If you wanna put some money down on the Govs.
Well, the Govs by a million.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, speaking of other football news in Clarksville, we had the awesome announcement that the Nashville Cats are permanently moving to Clarksville. So they'll be at the FNM Bank Arena for the 2026 season, obviously. They had a pretty good turnout with the deposits. They were asking for interested people in Clarksville to put down a deposit on season tickets to show, like, the community's commitment to the team. And I guess they liked the results of it. They had several hundred people do it. So definitely we've talked before about how we think we've had Ryan, you know, on here, and we've talked about it before about how the atmosphere in Clarksville is just so much better. And obviously they like playing here better, Jeff Fisher, you know, so that's really exciting, man. I mean, it's a pro sports team in Clarksville. I mean, you got to be happy about that.
Yeah. That's what I put on Twitter, you know, right before we come on here, that's not just a huge win for the arena, but that's a big win for Clarksville. They showed up for both those games, and it was a great crowd and a loud crowd. So I think combine that with the amount of people that put in deposits. Yeah, I mean, I think it seemed like it was a pretty no-brainer decision.
Yeah, I was impressed. I went to the playoff game against the Southwest Kansas, and the crowd was awesome. Like, yeah, there was people with jerseys on, like retro jerseys. There were people with signs. It was cool, man. It was, if you haven't been to a game, I mean, you'll have plenty of opportunities now. So, I know me and Chris, I know we'll be several, I'm sure. So,
yeah. And, you know, I wasn't, you know, I went to the game not expecting really to enjoy it as much as I did. And, you know, it was definitely fun. It makes it exciting. Of course, it doesn't help, you know, the first game they played here, I think they scored a touchdown in just about any way possible you could in an arena football.
Yeah.
Scoring over 80 points. That was crazy. Nice. So, but yeah, big win for Clarksville.
Well, and I'm sure Austin Peay will do, I'm sure it'll like intertwine a little bit. Like, because Austin Peay's so good about doing stuff with the community. And obviously they're going to be sharing the FNM Bank Arena. So, I'm sure there will be a lot of crossover there. So get out and support the Cats, man. It's awesome. You don't get this every day. You know, it's not something that we're used to around here. So we have a nice new arena downtown with a pro sports team.
So yeah.
Times are changing.
Yeah.
And then also, cool, obviously, get out to the Fort this weekend. Chris, you're not going to be at the Fort, are you, man?
Unfortunately, I think I have to work this weekend. I hope I can get out there at some point. But fingers crossed, I might be able to, but it's not set in stone yet.
So. It's unfortunate because it's an early kickoff time, like 1 o'clock. Like, if it was 6 o'clock, it'd probably be easier for you to get to.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
But again, I believe, did we get a good, let's see here. When does Tennessee play? So Tennessee, okay, another one. Tennessee plays at 3:15. So, you know, most of the Govs will have the win secured by the time that kickoff starts. So get on out to the Fort. No reason not to. It'd be a beautiful day. It's a game you should win. Coach Ferris is going to get his first home win.
Yep. And you don't even have to leave. You can just pull your phone out, watch, pull up Tennessee game on your phone.
Yeah, exactly. So I wasn't at the game a couple years ago. So the first time Tennessee beat Bama, like a couple years ago, like when they broke the streak.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
So Austin Peay had a home game at the same time.
I do remember that.
And my buddies were telling me that like everybody stayed in the stadium after the game was over to like
The, yeah, go
celebrate.
ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think I was in the club level, I think, in that game. And yeah, I don't think anybody had left. And I mean, and a lot of those people aren't Tennessee fans. It was just that was just how good that game was. That was a great game. So
That was a great season. That was also the season
was
that
awesome.
Austin Peay won the conference, and
Yep.
yeah, so hopefully we get to do that again this year.
Yeah.
It's gonna be tough, but well, let's before we get out of here, we'll look around the UAC like we always do, and we'll see what we can expect elsewhere. So obviously you have Utah Tech at Austin Peay at one. That's the only game in the early window. And then you have Nichols at Eastern Kentucky. You have Abilene at Incarnate Word. You have Central Arkansas at Lamar. And then you have West Georgia at Southern Utah. So only two conference games, conference v conference, only two of those, us and then West Georgia and Southern Utah. So Tarleton and North Alabama are off. So yeah, which one of those games is the most interesting to you?
I mean, I think that Abilene Incarnate Word game ought to be pretty good. I think Incarnate Word is still pretty. I don't know that they're in the top 25,
They're not anymore
but
because
they're.
they lost
That's
to Northern Arizona.
right. But
They played a
so,
brutal schedule though.
yeah. So that ought to be an interesting game. I mean, West Georgia and Southern Utah. I mean, Southern Utah's put up some numbers. Some high scoring games. Be interesting to see if West Georgia can keep up and go 5-0.
Let me tell you,
It would not surprise me.
Govs fans, you really want Southern Utah to win that game.
Yeah.
Because you already are contending with, I mean, you already lost to Abilene, so you're not going to have a tiebreaker there. And your Tarleton looks like a juggernaut. So you don't need a third team added to that mix.
Yeah, but I also don't know if I want West Georgia coming in here off a loss either.
That's a good point.
But
Yeah.
yeah. So, but that ought to be an interesting game for sure. I don't see anything appealing about Central Arkansas, Lamar, as well as Nichols and
I
EKE.
mean,
So,
based off what we've seen so far, Lamar's going to absolutely stomp Central Arkansas. I mean, Lamar beat South Dakota. I'm pretty sure they can handle Central Arc. And then, Nichols is a team that had some hype earlier this season, especially after the first game because they beat Incarnate Word in an upset.
lost to West
But
Georgia the next week.
yeah, they
Was it the
lost
next
to
week? Yeah.
After, yeah, they lost to Troy and then West Georgia and then Texas State. So, I mean, Troy and Texas State, you can kind of understand, but
Right.
so that, you want all the other UAC teams to lose, is my point.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see, though, because Eastern Kentucky is, like I said, they have not had a good start to the year. I mean, they're 1-3, and they, in their losses, they haven't even been competitive. Like, they got their doors blown off by Marshall. So, and Marshall barely beat Middle, and we saw what happened when the Govs played Middle.
Yeah.
So, and then they got their doors blown off by West Georgia too. So, I don't think Eastern Kentucky is very good. But that about does that. Anything else you want to say before we get on out of here?
Yeah, a couple shout outs to some programs at Austin Peay, getting some having some good weeks. Volleyball wrapped up their regular season non-conference schedule with a win at Tennessee State. I believe Monday or Tuesday night. And then golf, the men's golf team was in Sandestin today in a tournament and tied with forgive my ignorance, I can't remember who it was.
God, I don't know.
They were tied with somebody. Tied for second. Six. I know they were 16 under. Middle Tennessee was leading at 20 under.
Yeah, Louisiana Monroe.
Louisiana Monroe, that's who it was. At 16 under. So shout out to the golf goes and the volleyball, and I think soccer is off tonight. So
yeah.
And another one would be Saturday after the goes football game. If you don't want to watch any more football, want to watch some hockey. Ostapy Hockey is back at the Ford Center, Ford Ice Center, against Alabama Huntsville. I believe is who it was. Saturday night at 8 o'clock, and Sunday at 1, I believe. So,
how did the Georgia series go? I didn't get to. Not good.
No.
Okay.
First game, I think it was like 4-1 and or 5-1.
Didn't they score like 10 goals in one
game?
I
think it was like 12-1.
Oh.
Something like that on Sunday, I believe it was. So
just everywhere I look, I'm just, my teams are losing to Georgia. Yeah. It's God. All right. Well, hopefully I'll see some of y'all at the fort. Hope it's another packed house. The crowd was awesome last week. So let's bring that energy again. And let's go pee.
Let's go pee.
Hey Govs fans, this is Dr. Kevin Kennedy Jr. If you're like me, you love cheering on Clarksville's hometown team because the Govs mean something special to our Clarksville community. From little Govs to lifelong Govs, our dental teams are here to serve your family for every need, with specialists in kids dentistry at Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry to our experienced general dentist at Clarksville Dental Center. If you love our community and are looking to support businesses that do as well, we'd be honored to serve you. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry is the official sponsor of the Junior Govs Club, the premier club for kids to grow into lifelong Govs fans. Let's go, P.